today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott and Beyonce get in bed together. Partner on her upcoming tour. And what do you think is the number one pilgrimage site in California? Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, we have two topics for you. The FBI says unwanted advances and sexual assaults are on the rise on planes. We have a few tips to keep you out of harm's way. And what if you returned to Sacramento Airport and forgot where you parked your car? Been there, done that. Happens a lot. And we have a traveler's hack for you.
With the president's announcement of tariffs this past week, many folks who plan to travel internationally this summer are wondering what to do. Chris Elliott shares his wisdom at 11:35.
Which frequent flyer program offers you the best benefits? Our friends at Wallet Hub broke that down for us and found out what the number one is, and we're going to share it with you at 11:50.
Thank you for the pleasure of your company this Saturday morning. Welcome to the latest update from the Travel Guys.
On the road again, rocking everywhere, man.
Jamaica, Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there. Welcome to a Saturday morning, a little after 11 o'clock. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. When you put the words, which frequent flyer, when I do that, I feel like Elmer Fudd. Which frequent flyer program offers you the best benefits? Anyway, so
it's your first time on the radio, so it's understandable that you would have, you know, some nervousness and, you know.
I choked on my tongue. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to our special guests today on the program and lots of other stuff to make you a smarter traveler. Mark, welcome back from a little trip to Washington, D.C. Every year, Mark goes to Washington, and there's a little bit of, I wouldn't call it political work. It's lobbying. For the travel industry. What was the reception like? This was some week to be there.
Which is generally, lobbying for the travel industry is not like we're lobbying for a lot of social issues or to get money for some project for a municipality or something like that. Travelers generally create positive revenues wherever they go, so it's good to have them. And so you're generally going and just telling lawmakers, look, here are some things that you could do to help us make the travel experience a little better or make it easier to get into the country. For example, they call them asks. We sit down the day before and they say, okay, when you go into these offices, you may have some personal thing that you need to talk about, but here are the asks from the industry. These are the things that we would like to see happen. So ask them to do these things. And, you know, one of them, it can be things as simple as we would like to see the rules change because the technology is there now and has been apparently for a couple of years that you could take a water bottle through security at the airport and it wouldn't be a problem. There's a way to do that now and they just haven't done it yet. So that's a really small, tiny example. But what a frustration that, you know, you have to make sure that you've emptied the bottle in on the rare occasion that you forget that you've got the bottle in there that's full. Now they pull your bag and slows the whole process down. So wouldn't that's a small example. A bigger example would be that the Olympics, the World Cup is coming here next year, and the Olympics are coming in 2028 to Los Angeles. So those are two big events that attract people from all over the planet. It's been notoriously for the last 8-10 years really hard to get an appointment to get a visa at U.S. consulates and the like around the planet. Waiting periods are sometimes up to 700 days. That's 2 years. So if you're planning on coming to the World Cup next year and you haven't already gotten your visa or at least started it in many places, you're not coming. And that's a bit of a problem. So other countries don't have that issue. So we're asking, please put on more people. Probably not the right time to be asking for this, but please put on more people so that these folks who want to come here and spend a lot of money and support our economy can do that. Since we're supposedly focused on, you know, getting the deficit down and getting closer to break even, why this is one very small way to do it. So those were a couple things we talked about. My observation was still the donkeys still aren't really sure what to do about the orange man in the White House, and the elephants are concerned about some things, but they can't speak publicly about their concerns. So they will say things off the record or in the corner or something like that, as long as you promise not to repeat it. So right now, they're not. And remember, I was there on Wednesday, and it was Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock that the president released all of his update on the tariff situation. So that has thrown things into just an absolute. And as you know, the tariff thing, you'd say, well, why does that impact travel? Well, because if we don't have as much money to spend, then we're not going to take as many trips. If we convey to people that this is not a good place to come to, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit in the news, why, then they're not going to come. So that's a bit of a problem for people in this country who depend on visitors to make a living.
Well, there you go. Well, let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, here's Mark.
Here's an interesting item from Hawaii. If you've been over there the last couple of years, you know that the Hawaii hotel rates are going up just as fast as they are anywhere else, maybe faster. Even on Maui, where, you know, Lahaina is still down and there aren't as many things to do on Maui as there used to be. But I thought this was kind of interesting. Hawaii hotel occupancy in February was 79%. That's 4% lower than it was the year before. So 79 is not a particularly spectacular number. It's not a terrible number either. The number of people staying in Hawaii went down by 4%, but the room revenue went up. So it's the highest room revenue in history. This comes from because the rooms are taxed. So the government knows how many people stayed there and how many rooms were sold and the like. So interesting. So the bad news is in Hawaii, the rooms are getting considerably more expensive. Going to Hawaii is not getting any cheaper. And as somebody who took a group there in February, you know, I can tell you, you know, Hawaii's always been expensive. It's in the middle of the ocean. A lot of stuff has to be taken out there. So you pay for the price of, you know, stuff being taken out. The burger at McDonald's, you know, they had to get that stuff there somewhere. So you paid that price. It's sort of like a tariff. Trump's travel ban has been indefinitely postponed. We told you a couple months ago that there was a whole long list of countries that were not going to be people were not going to be allowed into the country. That was supposed to start on March the 21st. It has been indefinitely postponed, according to State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce. All right, here is something kind of fun. Marriott and is partnering with Beyonce. She has a tour coming up, the Cowboy Carter Tour.
Oh, yeah.
And Marriott is also going to have a sweepstakes that will give people an opportunity, will give frequent Marriott guests who are members of their frequent guest program, Bonvoy, an opportunity to get a ticket to one of her concerts for one Marriott Bonvoy point.
Wow.
You just have to be – what they're basically going to do is randomly pick and drop into your mailbox something that says, hey, if you'd like to go, you're the lucky winner. So you still have to pay, but the good news is that it's only one point. Mm-hmm. So sounds like something kind of fun if you are a Beyonce fan. This might be something that you want to look into.
Bonvoy and Beyonce.
Yeah, Bonvoy.
Nobody's ever made Shaps look as good as Beyonce, I guess.
Here's an idea if you are going to Europe this summer. This came from our friend Charlie Leoka at Travelers United. He penned an article this week, and I thought it was worthy of a mention. How to save big money with European low-cost airlines. A lot of folks go to overseas, and they go to more than one destination. So they'll say, you know, you fly United or American or Delta overseas or the national airline from the country that you're flying on. And now it's time to hop from Italy to Amsterdam. Or you're going to Finland, so you want to go to Helsinki or something like that. And so there are European, just like we have Southwest and Spirit and Frontier, you could question whether all of those are low-fare airlines or not. But nonetheless, Europe has a whole host of low-fare airlines that you might find to be a lot cheaper rather than, you know, booking United overseas and then using United's partner to get – to Finland and then using your United ticket to get back home, you might find you could save yourself $700 by taking some of that in-between inter-country stuff and using some of the low-fare carriers in Europe. Charlie wrote a really good article. I put a link to it at travelguysradio.com, but I will just tell you that if you've got inter-Europe trip flights as part of your trip, you might want to take a look at some of the low-fare carriers, Ryanair, EasyJet, Vueling, German Wings, Wizz Air. Those are just an example of some of the carriers over there. These are short flights, and they're reasonably inexpensive. So it's something that you might want to take a look at rather than just booking your entire trip online through your favorite airline and getting goosed $150 for a flight that you could have picked up online for $50. Here's something kind of fun. This is something that came to me about a year ago from our friend Mike Murray, who is on the board today. Mike sent me a thing that said this was a poll that talked about favorite celebrity pilgrimage sites around the country, and I just came across it the other day, and I thought it was kind of fun. Tom, what do you think is the number one pilgrimage site in the country, famous person, famous place that people go to? Now, you've been on, remember, you've been on the radio a long time, hint, hint.
Yeah, and I'm going to feel bad. I know what it is, or what my guess would be, but I don't know. Remember exactly the location, but it's the site where the plane crashed that had the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly and a handful of famous folks. I have some friends that on occasion they'll go there and with their friends or whatever and spend a few days and post some stuff on Facebook. So my guess is that location.
Uh-huh. Well, not so good. But that's a legitimate guess. You're in the right category. The top 10 is the number one pilgrimage spot in the country still is Elvis Presley's Graceland, in Memphis, Tennessee. Interestingly enough, Route 66 landmark, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield is number two, which is, without any question, the best presidential library in the country. I haven't been to all of them, but of the ones that I've been to, that's the best one. The Kurt Cobain Memorial in Aberdeen. I'm reading down the top 10. Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, still number 4. Patsy Cline Museum in Nashville. Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. Prince's Paisley Park in Minnesota. Elvis is twice in the top 10. His birthplace in Tupelo is number 8. Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, number 9. And Emily Dixon Museum in Amherst, Massachusetts is number 10. The top California pilgrimage site is 21st on the list, Marilyn Monroe's grave in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other one in the top 100 in California at number 82 is the John Steinbeck House in Salinas. So anyway,
what's the cemetery in Hollywood that she's buried? It's very popular.
Westwood Village Memorial Park.
There you go.
In Los Angeles.
Fascinating. Yeah, you know, that's that kind of thing is pretty popular. Sometimes it becomes a side trip, not necessarily a pilgrimage for some people, but they're on vacation and they remember or they see and they know that it's in the area and they will stop by. I was going to say, have you ever been to the World War II Museum there in, I think it's in New Orleans, isn't it?
No.
I was asked about it just recently. Somebody had been there, and they were raving about it, and then wondering whether Mark and his folks had been there.
I'll have to ask Clayton about that. I was working on a tour that we're having to Washington, D.C. in a month, checking out some things last week while I was there. And you know, it's a really cool place in Washington that people probably overlook, the Museum of the Army. It's actually across the river where Mount Vernon and Arlington are. But if you go over there, the Museum of the Army is kind of, you don't have to be an Army freak or, you know, a military person, but just a really well done, really well done museum that people probably overlook. Another one, too, in Washington, D.C. is the International Spy Museum, which is kind of cool. And it's not an official government place. It's a private museum, but someplace you might want to take a look at. All right. A couple of things here quickly. This doesn't surprise anybody, I'm sure. Second half of March, USC's roughly 20% drop in foreign visitors, according to Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time. These numbers are coming from the U.S. Border and Customs Control, so they are pretty legitimate figures. About 20% down. And then if you own airline stock, this has not been a good time to own airline stock. I don't know that there's ever been a good time to own airline stock, but they did rather well over the summer. United Airlines is now down to half of what it was just as late as 3 or 4 months ago. So it's been a tough time to own airline stocks, and I'm going to guess that some other travel stocks may not do too well with the next reporting of earnings and stuff like that in the next couple of months. But anyways, those of us in the travel business, we soldier on because it's about making dreams come true. And a lot of my travelers are mature travelers, senior travelers, and you know our clock is ticking. So we put it off too long, we might not get to go. Anyway, that's the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, and speaking of making dreams come true and pilgrimaging to great places, don't forget our friends at Rudy's Hideaway, just up Highway 50 at Hazel. If you haven't been there, Rudy's has a collection of art, and of course their theme is, of course, nautical, as you might imagine. So going to Rudy's is somewhat of a foodie museum, if you will. And, of course, one of the things that's nice about Rudy's is not only can you go there and enjoy a great meal, you can also order ahead and take it home. Or if you'd like to have a party catered at your place and want to make it the best with probably the best lobster you're going to find, certainly in California at Rudy's, along with their hand-cut steaks and so much more. And, of course, Mark's favorite,
the clam chowder.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go and get some clam chowder, a salad, and just my own personal order of their appetizers, which are these lobster pot stickers,
mm-hmm.
and just call that a meal. So there you go. There's my menu selection for the day. Rudy's Hideaway. Tell them the Travel Guy sent you, right there just off of Highway 50 in Hazel. Okay, Mark, we'll want to start off with that. The FBI says unwanted advances in sexual assaults are on the rise on planes. What do you know about this?
Well, and this, let's be clear, this doesn't mean that, you know, people are attacking people and humping them in the seats or anything like that, but sexual assault is determined by, you know, unwanted advances, unwanted touching, particularly in certain parts of the body. So anyway, there are some ways here that if you find yourself, and one other thing I found interesting, 10 years ago, 99% of all reports of sexual assaults on planes where people filed a report were men assaulting women. That number now has gone down to 86%. So that means 14% of the reports that are filed are women assaulting men. Kind of interesting. The ladies have gotten more aggressive, I guess, or something. I don't know. Anyways, here are some ideas. If you are somebody who has had this problem or it concerns you on the plane, here are some things that you can do. First of all, dress conservatively. You should wear whatever you want to wear when you fly, but within the bounds of airline rules. But let's face it, your clothing sometimes can be an indicator of what your personality might be and how open that you might be to, you know, if you get on the plane and you're wearing almost nothing and what you're wearing is pretty provocative, then you're sending a very different message to people. So what you're wearing could very well be a trigger to create some of these situations. Body language can set a physical boundary. If you're getting unwanted attention or advances, there are ways. Turn physically away from the other passenger. Fold your arms. Look away from them. Stare out the window or stare down the aisle. This is really interesting, turn your feet away from them. So in other words, don't give them any signals that, and I guess this would work for the person who has talked your ear off for the last hour and a half, and there's still 3 hours to go on the flight. So it wouldn't necessarily have to be somebody who's physically coming after you. It could be somebody who is verbally coming after you. And here's another idea, use headphones. Even if you're not going to listen to something, take your headphones out, put them on, plug them in. Now that sends a sign to somebody that you're really not interested in conversation. Along those same lines, you can use movies or books or games, anything that you might have in your carry-on that you could pull out that would send a signal to somebody who is sitting next to you that, hey, you know, I'm not really interested in you right now on any level. The other thing is that if someone touches you on an airplane and inadvertently, and you feel it's inappropriate, the second time it happens, that's when you push the flight attendant call button. Every time. If the second time somebody does something that's inappropriate, then you just push the call button and you ask that you if you can be moved. Or what you're kind of doing is you're documenting the fact that, hey, there's a potential problem here, and I'm making the professional people on the airplane aware of it. Most flight attendants are female. So you may find yourself that you have a friend there. All right. So anyway, those are some ideas of things that you can do on airplanes. A lot of it is body language, and I really like the headset idea. I think that's terrific. Quick tip for the airport. People continually send me notes asking about how do they find their car at the airport when they get back, wandering around the parking lot. Listen, go to the Sacramento airport. Just enter in your phone. They don't have an app, but enter in your phone. The website will come up. Click on Lost Cars. There's a link right on the homepage. Click on Lost Cars. There's a phone number there. Call the phone number. They will tell you where your car is. They go through the lot every night and record the numbers of every vehicle so they can tell you whether you're in a garage or a lot where your car is. So a quick hack, a great way to be able to know where your car is when you get back to the airport. And we take you there. Hey, I want to invite you to join me on a trip across America's loneliest highway. It's a very historical road, US 50 across Nevada, which is the old Lincoln Highway. I'm going to be taking a group of 25 people across the road June the 5th through the 9th. I have 3 seats still available. If you are an off-the-beaten-track person, this would be a journey that you should make. We go all the way out on Highway 80 to Wells, Nevada, and then cut down to Ely and come all the way back across the state on the old highway, which was originally the Lincoln Highway, then was old US 50, and now is... just a place that is full of all kinds of wonderful people and neat stuff. US 50, the Lincoln Highway. It goes June the 5th through the 9th. I would love to have you come along. You can find more information at sportsleisure.com and join me on America's Loneliest Road.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Link to our special guest and his new book and more. It can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us, a day away, is Christopher Elliott. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. It's nice to be here again.
The connections when we talk to you are damn near perfect, even though you are often a half a planet away, which you are now. Please share with our listeners where you're at.
I am in Borneo, in Malaysia, and in a place called Kaching, which is the cat city. So they have a cat museum here, and it's really beautiful. It's not the tourist season yet, and it's not too rainy, so everyone is very happy.
Did you say cat, like as C-A-T, or am I mishearing?
Yes, no, literally the word means cat in Malay, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, so for all those who speak Malaysian, my apologies. But they have a museum dedicated to cats here, and they it's a little bit like Istanbul, Turkey, where they revere their cats. So the hotel I'm staying in right now, called the Waterfront Hotel, actually has a cat that stands outside. And whenever you enter the hotel, cat comes up and demands to be petted.
Chris, just pretending for a moment that you work for the Malaysian Tourism Bureau, based on your stay so far, your experience in the country where you're at, give us a 30-second tourism plug. Why should people go there?
Oh, well, the food. In a word, the food. And actually, it's 2 words. The food here is absolutely incredible. I mean, the people are very friendly, but if you like spicy Asian food, this is the place to go.
Mm.
There's a lot also going on beyond the food. I mean, when we knew Kuala Lumpur, for example, is really a vibrant city with a lot of incredible shopping malls. And then if you get to the Borneo part of the country, there's a lot of excellent wildlife and nature. but definitely worth a visit. So if you have not been to this part of the world, check out Malaysia.
We are looking at the latest edition of the Elliott Confidential Consumer Alert, available exclusively to subscribers, by the way. And you were talking about, you know, they're all at any point in time, there always are some places on the planet that you either shouldn't go, or if you must go, you should be really careful, or there are things that you should know about. And you talked about, you gave some points here about how to protect yourself. And like I said, political situation around the planet is always changing, and it's real easy to step into a pile of goo if you're not well informed. And I thought the issues that you brought up here, three of them, were really good things, and I'd like you to speak to them for a moment, if you would. The first one was research bans before you go.
Yeah. Well, most people do their vacation research right about now for the summer, so they're doing it maybe 3 or 4 months ahead of time. And I think it's worth actually checking the country you're planning to visit just before you go, because the situation, as you say, the situation changes. So go to the State Department website, and that's a pretty authoritative resource for travelers. And check to see what the level is. Sometimes that changes. Especially now with the situation that we're in politically, anything could happen, and people shouldn't make any assumptions, even about countries that they think are safe.
You talked about if you hit one of those countries that's on a red list and you're thinking, wow, maybe I shouldn't go there. You had a word of wisdom there about maybe considering safer destinations when you get into that spot.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is a little bit nervous because of the politics and all the tariffs being imposed, things like that. And they're concerned maybe about some anti-American sentiment, xenophobia that they might encounter overseas. One of the things that I've seen my readers do is they're either holding off on planning a vacation abroad, or they're planning something closer to home. So a staycation or a domestic vacation, so that they don't have to deal with that possibility. I mean, it really depends on what your risk profile is. Most people are pretty okay with going to safe countries, level two, even a level three country, and they're all right with the risk. Some people really don't, and some are safe. You need to know what your risk profile is, and then, definitely look into the safety of the country before you leave. Don't assume that it's going to stay the same between now and the time that you leave.
You suggest that people consider travel insurance, and then you point out that conventional travel insurance may not cover you if a bomb goes off.
No, I mean, well, with terrorism, it's you have to read the travel insurance really carefully. If there is a terrorist incident, it has to happen within a certain time frame and within a certain distance of where you're planning to travel to. But if you start getting cold feet about your trip, you can't just call your travel insurance company and say, I want to cancel and get all my money back. You need something called a cancel for any reason travel insurance policy. And those are a little bit more expensive. So conventional travel insurance is like 6 to 8% of your total non-refundable trip costs. But if you get cancel for any reason, it can be as high as 10 to 12%. But what you get to do is you get to say, I don't want to travel. You don't even have to give a reason for it, and you get a percent back. It's usually between 50 and 75%.
Right. So even a travel for any reason, important to point out to folks that oftentimes still comes with some catches. Tom?
I want to just remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Travel Guys, our special guest, consumer advocate and travel expert, Christopher Elliott. Christopher, we've talked about this in the past when people book trips out of the country, doing it on your own, may not be the best idea, because once you get over there, you may not have a backup for anybody to help you find a way home. What advice would you give someone in regards to the method about going about booking travel, particularly travel to a place that may be you know, questionable in regards to safety.
I'm glad that you mentioned this because we were talking about my latest book, and in it I talk about ways that you can ensure that you have a safer trip. And one of those is to book with a reputable tour operator or a travel agent. Yeah, I'm not trying to butter you up there, guys, but that is definitely one way to ensure that you've got someone in your corner in case something does go wrong. And the other thing too is I'm the guy that they call when trouble happens and you can't find a solution. So I'm always available too. We have a nonprofit organization, and we help people for free regardless of the situation that they're in. We try to help everyone.
Chris Elliott, all the way from the other side of the planet, always there with great information and, you know, stuff to make you a smarter traveler, especially now. Thanks for coming along. A link to our special guest today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com, and that special guest is Chip Lupo. Chip is the writer and analyst with Wallet Hub. We have folks on from Wallet Hub from time to time as they, you know, share with us some statistics, some information in regards to what people want, what they don't want, research. Mark?
Well, and this week they came up with best frequent flyer programs of 2025. And as I was talking to Chip before we went on the air here, Wallet Hub tends to use a little bit different methodology when they're compiling their lists. So sometimes their lists don't look exactly like everybody else's list because the way they got there was by using and valuing different information. So I thought it would be fun here to talk to Chip about how Wallet Hub has decided that, and we won't keep the folks in suspense. Wallet Hub has decided that in order the top five are for 2025, the best frequent flyer programs from airlines are Alaska, United, Delta, Hawaiian, American. Alaska, United, Delta, Hawaiian, American. Interestingly enough, if you're an airline news junkie, Alaska's number one, Hawaiian's number four. They are now the same airline. So interesting that they both of them would land in the top five. And of course, there's no mention there at all of Southwest Airlines. So Chip, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
So, Chip, help us understand here how Wallet Hub figured out that Alaska's frequent flyer program has a little bit better benefits than anybody else.
Well, what we did is that we created basically three traveler profiles based on how much people spend on flights each year, light, average, and frequent, because that makes a difference. I mean, what someone who travels infrequently may not get as much bang for your buck with a certain rewards program as would someone who flies more frequently. And then we basically rated each program across 21 factors. And if you go out to the study on our website, we list all of those factors, and they range from anywhere from miles earned, rewards value, partner networks, and policies like blackout dates and mileage expiration.
There's a lot of things that go into redeeming miles. And as you mentioned, you know, depending on what your status is with the airline, you may see or not see availability. You know, if you're on the bottom rung, you may not see availability for award flights like somebody who's on the top rung that an airline might get. Chip, I found it interesting here. You talked about separating people into three groups, which I've never seen done before. You know, light, average, and frequent flyers. And just to give listeners an idea, they assigned budget numbers to these folks. So basically, light flyers were people who spent roughly $500 a year on airfare or less. So those are people who maybe flew once a year. And then you got average people who spent a little over $3,000 a year. So these are people who are flying probably half a dozen times a year. And then frequent flyers, which are up twice that. So they're people that are on airlines and no airports and which restaurant to eat in and all of the little kinks and stuff like that. Was there any statistic in here when you were scoring these in particular that stood out for you? You know, a benefit for one airline that really elevated them above their competitors? You know, like something like an airline maybe that gave like two bags free or something like that?
Not so much in terms of like benefits, but I did. The difference in the rewards value I found was staggering between the most and the least. Hawaiian Airlines gives you a value of about $12.50 per $100 spent. And that's a major factor that we use when we're ranking them. Now, go down to the bottom of the list. Sun Country offers just $2 per $100 spent, which obviously would make that the least rewarding. And I just found that disparity between the value between is just that's what stood out to me the most.
Chip, do you think that the changes that Southwest is making, do you think that this will impact how their frequent flyer program scores, how it's perceived by their customers?
Well, I would assume so, because as you mentioned, that Southwest has no international profile per se, but they also, another thing that's important is that they have no partnerships. Airlines like Alaska United, you have your One World alliances and all your partner airlines, which you can have flexibility earning and redeeming miles. Southwest and I think Spirit, Frontier, and Sun Country, they do not. That can only have a positive effect, I think.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Travel Guys, our special guest, Chip Lupo, writer and analyst for Wallet Hub.
This is really quite much more detailed than any survey of its type that I've ever seen. And also the other thing you have to be careful of, Tom, when you see these airline frequent flyer program surveys, oftentimes the airline that ends up on top, if you dig deep enough, you find that the people who did the survey are related to the airline. Or that the airline that was on top is the one who commissioned the survey. So the methodology that they used and the questions that they asked, they just ignore information that isn't what they're looking for. And so that's why I like the Wallet Hub stuff.
Okay, no conflict
is because
of interest there, right?
No, Chip, you're not a frequent flyer, right? You live in a small town. And you, how often do you get on an airplane?
Maybe once a year, if that.
You see? So what we have here is analysts and folks who are compiling statistics and stuff, as opposed to people who are trying to put their foot on the scale. Anyway, Chip, thank you so much for a little bit of your time today to explain about this. Again, we're talking about airline frequent flyer programs. Alaska has been determined by Wallet Hub to be the one that offers you the most value, followed by United. And interestingly enough, Alaska's new partner, Hawaiian, is number four on that list. Thanks again, Chip. Take care, and we'll be back to Wallet Hub next time you guys have something travel-related.
If I can add one quick thing, on our study, we do have what's called a frequent flyer miles calculator. That should help. You could just enter in the amount that you spent on flight, and it would recommend a good program for you.
Excellent. And you can find a link to their article and all, always, at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thanks for bringing that up, Chip. Stay well. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You know, there are all kinds of surveys and things, Tom, every week. Lots of them cross my desk. The Wallet Hub stuff, because the reason I brought it up with the gentleman was he's not a frequent flyer. He's not a guy who goes to the airport every day. He's not influenced by any outside. So when he compiles this stuff, it's much more likely to be accurate. And then you can interpret it any way that you want to. But every once in a while, the Wallet Hub people have one that's really good, and I thought that was interesting. And I thought the fact that Alaskan and Hawaiian are both up there towards the top might be a reason to, you know, if you're a free agent, if you're a frequent flyer free agent right now, why that might be something to take a look at. Heck, they're starting, they're going to be doing all kinds of stuff to the Far East and stuff like that. So I think there's some real, if you like traveling to Asia, Take a look at that airline.
Well, there. Here again, as he pointed out, he's crunching numbers. They pointed out what kind of method they used. How much money people are spending with those particular airlines to fly, and you know, the international thing is important, and that's why Southwest is down there in the bottom. It's kind of sad to hear Southwest to be thrown in with Frontier and Spirit in regards to the frequent flyer programs.
Hey, listen, before we go here, I have a few technology things that a list of technology tips that's come across my desk here, and I want to share some of them with you. When we travel, technology is really important. You know, we're all walking around with a computer in our pocket, and when we're traveling, it becomes that smartphone becomes really a really, really, really important tool. I've said this before. I'm a United flyer frequently, and their app is the best in the business. Delta has a good app. I don't fly American, so I don't know anything about theirs. Southwest's app is better than it used to be. You can now find out where your plane is coming from. With United's app, you can track your plane all the way back through the entire day if you want to find out what's going on with it. So there's a, to have the airlines app on your phone is something that you really shouldn't leave home without at this point, because it's the way to get updated information. Another couple of things, if you're traveling, like I was in Washington DC last week, didn't even think about this, turn off the auto connection mode for your phone to Wi-Fi. So it doesn't just connect to any network that comes along, because some of those networks are bogus and can extract information from your phone. So turn, when you're traveling, turn the automatic connection off so that it doesn't just randomly connect to places along the way. Also, this is really important, talking about technology. This was something we didn't even think of as a tour company for a couple of years. You know, people are out on traveling and we get some great pictures and we post them on Facebook. Well, forgetting that, those people are on the road away from home. So probably, I mean, in a generic travel picture, maybe not as much of a deal, but if you were taking pictures and posting them while you're traveling and saying, hey, I'm in Barcelona or I'm in Berlin or...
Right, go I'm live. People will go live from different locations while they're on holiday, and you can watch them and respond, and don't ever go live.
Everybody knows that you're not at home. And the other thing is, if you must do something like that, I would say, hey, it'll be great to be home tomorrow, or something like that, or just heading to the airport now to get on the plane, even if that's not the truth. But telling people where you are with social media postings when you're not home and you're not going to be home for a while, that's a really bad thing. Another thing on this list here is rental car photos. I'm currently in a dispute with Hertz. They haven't come back to me for a while, so it may be that they're going to let it drop. But it's a situation where, you know, always take photos before and after the car rental.
Was this where you lost a windshield wiper or something?
No, I just took the car back, and then they sent me a thing and said, hey, you owe us $800 because there's this dent in the back of the car. And they sent a picture of the dent, and I said, not so much. And my lawyer said, don't even send them your pictures. He said, you don't owe them any kind of response other than to acknowledge that you got their information. It's not true, and you'll see them in court. So,
wow,
anyhow.
Okay.
yeah. Well, I haven't mentioned that on the radio because I was kind of waiting for a follow-up. But anyway, those are some quick things. But with the smartphone, especially if you're an older traveler and you're not really into a lot of the technology, take your smartphone, get the app, know how to use it before you leave.
All right. Well, I want to take a moment here and remind folks about next week's show, because we're going to do something a little out of the ordinary, and we're going to do our best to make sure that you get your real ID before the deadline. Mark, kind of walk us through how we're gonna do this.
Well, my plan is to, in fact, the stuff's up on my computer right now, but I'll be on the road next week, but in Kentucky, but we're going to walk folks through how to go through the process. You'll be able to walk through with us on your computer if you wish, and if you don't make the application there, you'll at least know how to do it and be able to do it yourself. Because this is kind of important. You can use your passport to travel if you don't want to get a real ID, but I would suggest that it's probably a good idea.
It's a good ID to get a real ID, and we'll have that next Saturday here on the program, so be sure to tune in and join along.
In the meantime, thanks
for spending some time with us today, my friends.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next week right here on The Travel Guys.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week.
KFBK Sacramento.
KFBK FM. Pollock Pines.
For local news, breaking news, traffic, and weather, KFBK Sacramento's News Radio.